This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
And it is Thursday, April 28th. You know what that is? You know what this is? This is draft day. This is draft weekend, NFL draft weekend. Usually a really big deal. I'm into it. I love watching the first round. Mel Kiper's going to be doing the draft from home because he's unvaccinated, and ESPN allows the male commentators to work from home. The females, as you recall, that female college football sideline reporter was fired for being unvaccinated. But the males, they get to work from home if they don't want to get vaccinated. I love this idea. The Red Sox have some unvaccinated players. So do the Yankees and everyone else. And they can't go to Toronto because of laws. The pandemic is over, pretty much. We all agree. Even Fauci on Tuesday said the pandemic was over. Of course, he said Wednesday it's back on. But the media, I love the Boston Globe, blames the players for not getting vaccinated, even though we already have learned time and again the vaccines don't stop the spread. They don't stop you from getting COVID. But it's the players' fault. It's not this idiotic rule, this law in Canada, which doesn't allow you to come in and play. So they blame the player, even though we've learned the vaccines are ineffective and there's really no reason for the player to get vaccinated. But if the player doesn't get vaccinated and can't play, it's his fault when the team loses. That's how it works with the media. These are people who a year ago said the vaccine will stop the spread, the vaccine will stop the transmission, you must get vaccinated. Then when we learn it doesn't stop the transmission, it doesn't stop the spread, they don't change a thing. They don't change their opinion at all. It's still, you must get vaccinated to protect people. Well, it doesn't protect people. And they don't change their opinion. It's bizarre. It's like, okay, we got it. You got vaccinated. It spares you from serious illness or death. I understand that. But if you're a 25-year-old professional athlete, you aren't going to die anyway. You're not going to be ill, hospitalized. So how is it the player's fault if the player decides to get a vaccine that doesn't do anything for him or for, more importantly, his teammates and the people around him? I think you should blame the people who won't let him play. But that's just me. We don't have to get back into vaccines or back into Fauci. We're allowed, by the way, we're allowed to criticize Fauci on Twitter now. That's pretty exciting. I'm sure he's a little pissed off right now that he no longer has the protection the protection provided by Jack Dorsey and Vijay Gaddy, the top lawyer at Twitter. They no longer have your back, little man. So you're going to have to face a little criticism from people on Twitter. I know that's rough. I know. I love how we've made this transition to online bullying is the worst thing that can happen now that Musk has purchased Twitter. We're all worried about online bullying. Somehow we all forgot about the block button or the mute button or just getting off of Twitter. If you're getting bullied, Taylor Lorenz, if you're getting bullied, Vijay Gade, I don't know. You're pretty aware. You're pretty adept at navigating Twitter. Maybe you just block those people who are picking on you. We've now become, reverted back to, oh, those poor little ladies. We need to protect those poor little ladies. What are we going to do? We don't have content moderation to protect the little girls out there. What now? We're going to have to make some anti-bullying laws. Again, how about you just block them? How about you just ignore them? When did we get to this point where we need laws to protect the girls on Twitter, the girls who could just simply ignore the trolls? That's the beauty of the internet. They're not knocking on your door, ladies. They're not stalking you as you walk down the street. They're picking on you on Twitter. Just block them. But it's gonna. That's the approach now. We saw that yesterday. We can get into this new Ministry of Truth that the Biden regime has established. We'll get to the person that Joe Biden has decided to tap to protect people from misinformation. This is, and I know people are stupid, and you know, particularly Biden voters, but I hope people are paying attention when the 2 days after it's announced that Elon Musk will indeed purchase Twitter and things will change. Things are already changing, but the Biden regime comes up. First you have the people behind Biden, the most powerful people in the world, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, coming out and saying we need to do something about disinformation. These are the biggest purveyors of disinformation on the planet, and they want to come up with laws to stop their political opponents from speaking. They know Musk is going to open it up and allow people to speak, allow people to have an opinion, and they want to stop that. That is, again, the beauty of this. That is what makes this so glorious. One guy is proposing free speech for all, which is kind of, I don't know, the American way. It used to be. And the other people, Obama, Biden, Hillary, you know, Washington Post, New York Times, they're proposing new laws, new bureaus, arms of the Biden administration who will monitor and stop disinformation, which is just information that they disagree with or opinions they disagree with. I wanted to start with more Musk before we get to the Department of Disinformation and other. And we have some incredible Biden gaffes today. You know, it was funny when I first told you that you had to, one of your jobs was to get the daily Biden gaffe. I didn't think there'd be something every single day because let's face it, he doesn't speak every day. Hell, he's done one interview in 2022, and we're now almost through our fourth month. I believe he's done one interview. Kamala Harris has done like 40, and they've all been disastrous, but the president of the United States has done one interview. That's how scared they are of letting him go out there and take questions. But he does go before the media occasionally and do press conferences. That's different than one-on-one interviews, but he does press conferences and he never gets through them without sticking his foot in his mouth. He never gets through them without losing his way. And yesterday we have one of the more bizarre examples. We'll get to that. We have to get to the Musk tweet last night, because here's, obviously, we're excited that Musk is taking over Twitter and opening things up and letting people out of Twitter jail. We already have seen a couple of people like Tucker Carlson who've been reinstated. We're waiting, who are Musk's friends, who are the reason that Musk bought the company, because they messed with his friends, which is wonderful. But Musk doesn't officially take control for a few months. They're going to do everything they can to stop him. They'll be investigating Tesla and SpaceX and looking for his parking tickets from college and making sure, looking into his past. You're going to see stuff from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ABC, NBC, CNN that you will not believe. The beauty of it is it'll be so transparent and so cynical. They'll just be saying, yeah, obviously, Joy Reid and company are already accused him of being racist and misogynist and everything else. But I think you're going to see Musk have some fun with this. In fact, yesterday he said, we have to make Twitter fun again. And he did. He is. And this tweet came out last night, 12 hours ago, and made me laugh out loud. Elon Musk tweets, next, I'm buying Coca-Cola to put cocaine back in. And I saw this, and I rarely do this, where I got comfortable and I said, I'm going to read the replies, and there's thousands of them, obviously. I'm looking at it right now. 3.1 million likes. 3.1 million likes so far. 630,000 retweets. 136,000 comments. And as expected, there's a few saying, oh, this is no joke. We got a drug problem in this country. And, you know, this is what we look forward to. A guy, and he's just tweaking them. And I have a feeling he's going to do this regularly, if not daily. He's going to have some wisecrack. I think he indeed wants to make it fun again. And he is, let's be honest, he is the greatest troll in the history of social media. He is going to be trolling people. In fact, he also tweeted, and I agree with this too, that Truth Social, you know, the Trump social media platform that you, did you get in? You said, Craig, you were waiting.
I'm still on the wait list. I've been trying all day.
Still on the waiting list. I don't know. I'll put in a good word for you, but I'm waiting to see if you get in. But he said, he tweeted something about Truth Social and said, it's a dumb name. And don't you agree? Isn't Truth Social, I don't know, a little awkward when you think about it? What do you even know? What do they call, what do they call their tweets on Truth Social? Do they have a name?
I guess it's Truths.
See, that is awkward, man.
Yeah.
Truths?
Yeah.
So that means if you send out something, you send out whatever, what you had for lunch, that's a truth?
Yep. And if I like it, and instead of retweeting, it's retruth.
You're kidding.
No, that's what I saw.
See, he's, I would say his, let me find the tweet. Here it is. Yesterday, Truth Social, parentheses, terrible name, exists because Twitter censored free speech. He also says it should be called Trumpet. Trumpet. Now, that'd be kind of cute. And he points out that they wouldn't exist if not for the tyrants at Twitter, like Vijay Jayagadde and Jack Dorsey and Pramag Agrawal. They're the reason Trump and company started Truth Social. Now, it's not good news for Trump company that Twitter, that Musk bought Twitter, but they're going to, you know, power on and put on a bold face and say we're happy for Musk. And I suppose there's room for both, although there's a whole bunch of other ones, Gab and Getter and Parler and you name it. But Truth Social and sending out a truth. Yeah, I mean, I understand they want to make it clear that, you know, they're telling the truth, or at least purport that they're telling the truth. But sending out, that's not going to catch on.
No.
Are you actually going to tell your friend, did you see my truth? I sent out a truth? That's weird. And God bless him, Musk pointed that out. I don't think he's necessarily thinking these things through, like, what does it all mean? How's it going to affect everybody? He's just having fun. He's not really going to put the coke back in cocaine. And of course, like 90% of the responses that replies were about Hunter, pictures of Hunter, and Hunter's going to be happy to get back on Twitter now that they're, start drinking coke again, now that they're putting cocaine back in coke. I think that's been like, whatever, like 80 years anyway, since they, had cocaine in coke. I'm old, but I'm not that old. I didn't experience cocaine in coke, in Coca-Cola. So I don't think he's serious. I think he's having a good time. I do want to mention, I do want to talk about this tweet, though, because after he tweeted about putting coke back in cocaine, right about the same time, he was probably, you know, like Trump, in the bathroom, sitting there tweeting, or maybe he was in it. Someone was driving him somewhere or flying him somewhere, and he decided to take out his phone and tweak some people. But he tweeted this, and I think it's serious. He wrote, "For Twitter to deserve public trust, it must be politically neutral, which effectively means upsetting the far right and the far left equally." Now, I responded to this because there's a flaw in this. It sounds good. It sounds good. And he wants people to think he's going to be neutral. And he wants people to think that the far left, you know, the New York Times and the Boston Globe, they'll be pissed. And the far right. The problem is only one side engages in cancel culture. Only one side wants to shut their opponent up, to suppress them, to kick them off social media. There's nobody on the right who demands that you kick off you know, you name it, any New York Times, you know, Joy Reid or Kickoff, Jake Tapper, the far left is the only one. The cancel culture only works one way. And I tweeted about this and got some response of people saying, oh, sure, only one way. Yes, that's the answer. Yes. The far, and on top of that, the far left, the leaders of the far left, they're in Congress. You know, they're Ayanna Pressley and Liz Warren and AOC and Bernie Sanders. The leaders of the far right, they're nobodies. They're, I don't know who you'd even call, Gavin McGinnis, you know, the Proud Boys. The far right are already marginalized. You know what they want? They want to be on Twitter. They want to be on social media and have a voice. You know, Laura Loomer, she ran for Congress. She was kicked off her email. She wasn't allowed to email. These are people who aren't allowed to use PayPal, who aren't allowed to use Airbnb. That's what they've done to the far right. The far left, they get elected to Congress. They get to speak on Twitter and social media and everything else. This authoritarian trend only works one way. So there's nothing Musk can do to piss off the far right other than kick them off Twitter. The way he pisses off the far left is to let, you know, the people, to let Robert Malone or Alex Berenson, or let them speak. That's what pisses them off. So you have no choice, Elon Musk. Your job now is to piss off the far left and please the far right by letting them speak. Again, it only works one way. This trend of, you know, there's only one side that wants to establish a ministry of truth. I saw this yesterday. I've read about it. I've read about this woman, Nina Jankowicz, who is a far left fanatic who will now be heading up the, Let me look. The name of it is this is amazing. This is Orwellian. This is dystopian. This is frightening. I'm reading right now from the Daily Mail. President Biden has set up a disinformation board headed up by a woke so-called expert who is against free speech and tried to pour cold water on the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. That's the lead from the Daily Mail. Nina Jankowicz will head the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board as executive director, Politico reported. Homeland Security Secretary, who got ripped a new one before Congress yesterday, if you haven't seen it, he is a completely 100% corrupt. He's part of this effort to open the border, but he lies about it and says, we're trying, but he is committed to opening the border and letting anybody from anywhere in our country. That is our Homeland Security Secretary. He did not disclose any powers that would be granted to this dystopian sounding board while addressing lawmakers Wednesday. Mayorkas did say the new board would come under the Biden Area Center for Prevention Programs and Partnership. And they get into, this woman, this Jankowicz, has a long history of, you know, crazy far left tweets and opinions. She's 8 months pregnant. And she's now going to be running our disinformation board. And this will be supported by, New York Times and Washington Post and CNN and all your far left media outlets and, Obama and Hillary. So this is wonderful. This is frightening. A disinformation board. It is designed for one thing only: to stop Biden's opponents, Biden's adversaries from speaking. All right, and this is my favorite part from Nina Jankowicz, our new minister of truth. She's 33 years old, 8 months pregnant, a successful author, this says, went to Georgetown, lives in Virginia, but this is my favorite part. Jankowicz suggested last week that she opposes the First Amendment, but she thinks it's bad for marginalized communities. It's called Elon Musk, a free speech absolutist, because he wants to make Twitter more open to all voices. So we get a woman in charge of stopping disinformation who's against the First Amendment. That's great. We're excited about that. We have Elon Musk tweaking everybody, trolling everybody, and hopefully he'll continue to do that for the next few months before he takes control of the company. But get ready, strap in, buckle up. They are going to come after him. The Ministry of Truth, they're going to lead the charge, and they're going to say, I don't know, you name it, he's racist, he's misogynist, he's homophobic, he's transphobic, he's an agent of, you know, South African, you know, apartheid age, which, by the way, Joy Reid has already said that he longs to bring back apartheid. So that's all they've got so far. Let's do the usual. Let's go to the playbook and call him a racist. But I look forward to Elon Musk's tweets and tweaks for the next few months before he takes control and opens things up and drives these people nuts. But it was not a good day by any definition for the Biden administration yesterday. We had that fool Mayorkas before Congress getting reamed. You know, we have obviously an open border, millions coming over the border. We have people bringing drugs and bringing disease and bringing COVID, and nobody seems, nobody seems interested in enforcing the law at the border. But Joe Biden cleared things up, you know, when he went before the media yesterday. There were a couple of moments where you just, I mean, it just, I know we say this every day. You just say, what is wrong with him? I mean, I know he's got dementia, but he's out there reading the teleprompter, just losing his way. I don't even understand this gaffe that we have with all the numbers. It's just bizarre. And obviously he was ad-libbing. This could not have been written for him. But let's just play. Maybe you can explain it to me. You have it there, Craig. Let's listen to Joe Biden. I don't know what you said. Talking about the good old days. Is that what he's doing here?
I'm still trying to figure out exactly what he's trying to say.
Parenthetically, if you think about it, what was the reason why we led the world beginning around 1905, 6, and 7, and 8?
Why we led the world beginning in 1905, 6, 7. What is 1905? What is 1906? What is 1907? What does that even mean? What, 1905, 6, 7, and 8? That was, you know, the most bizarre thing he said yesterday, but the most revealing, and I think a cut you are going to see again and again in the mid, you know, when the political campaigns heat up in the fall and then again in 2 years, when he talked about how they're teachers, and he loves to brag that his wife's a teacher, like, so what? You know, she's a teacher. This is what teachers do. Well, like, teachers, the kids belong to the teachers. Now, I'm not sure if Joe's kept up on the news, but this is just kind of a big issue in Virginia on whether, you know, whether teachers should be involved in the curriculum, whether teachers should be able to know what the kids are learning or not learning, and should there be cameras in the courtroom? Should we know what they're talking about in class in terms of, you know, gender theory and sexual orientation, all that's kind of been an issue. Maybe he hasn't really paid attention. And parents are concerned that they're being left boxed out of the process. And I don't even know where this came from, but he started talking and somehow decided, you know, the kids belong to the teachers, which is just the wrong. He doesn't even know what he said. He doesn't even know that he stepped in it here. But this thing went viral, and I think we're going to see it a lot over the next couple of years. But God, let's listen to Joe talk about kids in the classroom.
You've heard me say it many times about our children, but it's true. They're all our children. And the reason you're the teachers of the year is because you recognize that. They're not somebody else's children. They're like yours when they're in the classroom.
They're yours when they're in the classroom.
They're not somebody else's children. They're yours. That's not what people want to hear, Joe. That's not what people don't want, to send their kids to school and have the teacher or the schools think they belong to us now. They're not your kids. That's not how it works. But you keep running with that, Joe. You keep running with that. And you know what? I know we want to move on, but I do want to do the student debt thing too, because I can't imagine. I'm almost rooting for it. I think it's insane, this whole cancel student debt. We've talked about it many times. First of all, there's no such thing as canceling debt, as we've said. Canceling debt, you don't cancel it. You just shift it, transfer it to someone else. In this case, you transfer it from the haves, the people with graduate degrees who took out big student loans and don't want to pay them back. So they came up with this scheme. Let's make everyone else pay our debts. Should we make them pay our car debts or a home? No, let's just make them pay our student debts. And they get the usual radicals to carry the ball for them. That would be Liz Warren, Bernie Sanders, Ayanna Pressley, AOC. AOC, by the way, who has, I think, $17,000 in student debt from her time at Boston University. She has a degree. She makes $170,000 or more per year. She's looking at making millions in speaking fees and books and everything else in the next few decades, but she doesn't want to pay her debts. That's basically the bottom line. It does. So she came up with a scheme, tried to make it an issue, said, let's make everyone else pay my debts. And somehow this is taken seriously. This, I'm going to guess, a generation ago would have been laughed out of the room if you brought it into the House or to Congress, said, let's get the general public to pay the debts of the deadbeats who took out big loans and don't want to pay them back. There is some amazing numbers. And again, we've talked about this before. The majority of this debt is for people with graduate degrees. Tom Cotton yesterday said it quite simply. He said, why should a trucker who never went to college pay the debts from some kid who went to college, went to grad school, took out big loans and doesn't want to pay them back? It's the most unfair, insane idea that we've heard out of this this Congress or this White House, and that's saying something. And it's extremely unpopular. Nobody supports it. Nobody, large majority are against it. But again, they don't care. They Ayanna Pressley, AOC, they get sent to Congress by a small band of radicals in their district. They could never even win statewide, although Liz Warren did. She won statewide for Senate and then finished third in the presidential in her home state. So these aren't popular people with popular ideas. They're just not. And I was looking up these numbers. Check this out. The percentage of people in America with four-year college degrees, 37%. The people with graduate degrees, 13%. The percentage of student debt owned or whatever, that carried by people with graduate degrees, 56%. So more than half the people asking you and me and the truck driver to bail them out have graduate degrees. They have masters and PhDs and took out huge loans and don't want to pay them back. So they say, you know what? That guy picking up my trash right now, that guy painting my house, that guy delivering my Amazon package, he should pay my debt. How could anybody agree that that makes any sense at all? Normally, Democrats run with the everything's fair. We need to be more fair. Pay your fair share. They demand people who work for a living pay their fair share, so the people who don't, their base, don't have to. In this case, you can't make a case for fairness. Fairness is some guy who decided he couldn't afford college, or maybe some guy, woman, who went to community college, or someone who said, I'm going to commute and work at night because I can't afford to go to some, Boston University. That person has to now pay the debt of the idiot who bit off more than he could chew, who took on debt that he could not pay. How could that ever make sense? How could that ever be construed as fair and just? It's madness, and it's cynical too, and I'll tell you why. Big college is a big scam. We all know that. Big college is a big scam. They encourage kids to go to the best schools. The best means the most expensive. Private schools, it costs $70,000 a year. And if you don't go, then the neighbor's going to look down their nose at you because their kid went and it becomes a competitive situation, and parents and students say, I'll do whatever it takes. I want my kid to go to whatever, Wesleyan or Tufts or BU. So they take out big loans, government, and you can't declare bankruptcy and get out of those loans. They encourage you when you're young and stupid to take out these big loans and go to these schools. And if you ever say, well, will I ever make enough money to pay it back when I get my degree in art history? And yeah, you know, whatever, you need to go. The people making the money are people like Liz Warren, who made 400 grand for teaching one course, or Joe Biden, who made $1 million to teach no courses at the University of Pennsylvania. It's a big scam. It's a slush fund. And it's a big cycle where they keep raising the prices, saying you need to come here to get a degree. Oh, you can't afford it. No big deal. Take out a loan. So the kids, the stupid kids and the stupid parents take out the loan. And then when they can't pay it back, the politicians who made all the money from the universities say, cancel it, which you can't do. You just transfer it to the truck driver. Look at this. Endowments, and I've talked about this many times. If anyone should bail out these students who took out loans and can't pay them back, it is the universities. If you spent any time in universities of late, you know they are flush with cash. Every school is building new buildings and dorms and science labs, and they all, you know, gyms. They have so much money because the scam is working. Kids go there, they pay whatever it takes. They pay even when they can't afford it. Harvard now has a $53 billion endowment. Yale, 43. Stanford, 38. MIT, 28. There's $700 billion in endowments at U.S. schools right now. They're the ones making all the money, and they somehow, their handmaidens in Congress, want truck drivers and delivery men and house painters and whatever, insurance salesmen, to pay the debts for the kids that they scammed. It is a scandal. And I almost hope, it's totally unfair, it's totally wrong, but I hope Biden agrees. He's already postponed it and cost the taxpayers billions, postponed kids paying their debts. Almost want him to do this because it is so unpopular and so unfair. And once people focus in on it and say, he did what? He did what Ayanna Pressley and AOC? AOC is just doing this for her own selfish benefit. She doesn't want to pay her loans. She's, you know, obviously she's been pampered her whole life. Little rich kid, she didn't want to pay her debts. She's got a Tesla to pay for. You know, she's got probably a really nice apartment in D.C. She's not going to pay her student loans. It's madness. It's insane, but go for it, Joe. Do it. Let's do it. We'll, you know, we'll see how that flies with the American public. The truck driver must now pay the debts for the gender studies graduate. You know, and think of how many worthless degrees there are out there. How many sociology degrees and gender studies and art history who are out there looking for a job saying, man, if I could only get the government to cancel my debt, the hell with them. Pay your debts. Why not cancel, you know, car loans? Mortgages. Why not cancel all debt? Why just student debt? Anyway, go for it, Joe. All right, we got a lot more to get to here. Let me do, let me tell you about Callahan Coffee. It's our first branded product that is damn good coffee. Proudly roasted to order in Waltham, Mass. We ensured that we're getting the freshest and highest quality coffee possible delivered right to your door. The feedback has been terrific. Everybody loves Callahan Coffee, so you got to try it. Go to callahancoffee.com, click on the link, order it now, get a pound, try it, tell us what you think. We've got great reviews so far. All right, let's do Yardboard, and then we'll get to a whole bunch of other stuff. All right, today's show is brought to you by Yardboard, the most fun electric scooter on the market. With gas prices skyrocketing, you know, we've been telling you about this. The Biden administration has been trying to bully Americans into paying 50, 60, 70 grand for a new electric car. But we got a much more practical solution. Get a scooter instead, whether you're in the city and you don't want to worry about parking, or you're on an RV trip and want a convenient way to get into town, or you just want to cruise around for fun, an electric scooter is the perfect vehicle. The Yardboard's unique design approaches transportation with one goal: make it as fun as possible. Unlike most electric scooters that you've seen, the Yardboard has four wheels, which creates a riding style very similar to that of a snowboard. But compared with a snowboard, the handle lets you carve even harder. That's important. And you learn to ride much quicker. It has three different speed modes, so you can start slow and work your way up until you get comfortable. It's also tremendous in off-road conditions. It can handle just about any terrain you throw at it. Weighing in at just under 30 pounds, the Yardboard is one of the lightest scooters in the world while still going 22 miles an hour and having a range of 20 miles. It also folds flat, so it can be easily transported in the trunk of a car or stored in the garage or the closet. Check it out now at yardboard.com. That's Y-A-W-B-O-A-R-D. Yardboard.com, or just Google Yardboard. All right, I gotta say, I've been saying for years, Sage Steele, I love her. My girl Sage Steele, my favorite ESPN personality. I stalked her at the Super Bowl, I have to admit. She didn't know, I don't think she knew I was there, but she just sparkles. She's got a big, you know, she's just got a great glow about her. She's good on the air. Apparently, she's a very nice person, but she works at ESPN and she's not woke. So that's a problem. She didn't want to get vaccinated because she's young and fit and thin. And, you know, she wanted to make her own decision. They forced her to get vaccinated. She said that one day on a podcast with Jay Cutler. And then what happened? Then she got demoted. Then they messed with her at work at ESPN because she didn't fall in line. She is suing ESPN for violating her free speech rights. And all I could say is, go girl, go Sage Steele. Wall Street Journal first reported that Steele filed a suit against the famed sports network, claiming the network breached her contract over its reaction to remarks she made in September 21 about, as I mentioned, about the vaccine. But she's talked about other things. She talked about race and how she doesn't want to identify as black. Another no-no at ESPN because she's biracial, mixed race, and that's what she wants to call. And they didn't want her to say she was biracial. And they said Obama calls himself black. And Steele said she never understood that because his black father abandoned him and his black mother and white grandparents raised him. So she asked the question, why wouldn't he want to identify as biracial? And again, that's a real sin because she didn't want to call herself black and she criticized Barack Obama. You can't do that at ESPN. Steele's lawsuit accuses ESPN of selective enforcement of its policy that bars news employees from commenting on politics and social issues. The suit alleges ESPN violated Connecticut law and Steele's rights to free speech based upon a faulty understanding of her comments and a non-existent workplace policy that serves as nothing more than pretext, claiming the network relied on inaccurate third-party accounts of Steele's comments. The best part of this, she's seeking an unspecified amount of damages. The best part of this, she still works there. I heard the story and I thought, did I miss when she quit or got fired? She works there. She's showing up at work today. Well, she's like Brian Flores. She's working for a company she's suing. ESPN told Fox News that Sage remains a valued member of some of ESPN's highest profile content, including the recent Masters telecasts and anchoring our noon sports center. She's going forward with anyway. God bless her. She has a good case. Obviously, they don't allow you to step out of line at ESPN. They don't like people that ask questions about the vaccine or criticize Barack Obama. So she is, being mistreated, demoted at ESPN. I hope she wins a fortune. I hope she makes enough money so she can walk away from that dying outfit. But our guy Bobby Burek points this out on Outkick. ESPN punished Sage Steele for talking about the vaccine and about Obama, but allowed Jemele Hill to call Trump a white supremacist, allowed Bomani Jones to say white people are the problem in this country. They allowed Mark Jones to celebrate conservative players tearing their ACLs, and they allowed Jalen Rose to lie and say the police killed Jacob Blake.
White people?
Mark Jones thing went under the radar. Mark Jones is a play-by-play guy. Most people don't know who he is. He said he didn't want a police escort to the game, a college football game, which normally they give you a police escort, because he was afraid the cop might shoot him. He's a total, you know, crazy left-wing radical moron who hates cops and is happy when, I believe, I forget who it was, who tore his ACL, Jonathan Isaac, maybe, and he was happy about it because the guy didn't kneel for the anthem. These are the kind of people who get promoted, who get valued by ESPN. But Sage Steele, who said she wanted to call herself biracial, Sage Steele, who said she wasn't sure she really wanted the vaccine, she's the one that gets dumped upon. So go, girl. I hope she kicks their ass. All right, a couple more things to get to here. I wanted to, do we have time to do the Denny Hamlin story?
Yeah, sure.
You know what? I got to do this, DUI story. This is incredible. Yesterday in, I guess it was in Quincy, a Worcester state rep named David LaBeouf, got arrested for DUI. That's no shocker. He's a Democrat, and apparently he's a, you know, laws for you, not for me. That's the way he is.
Right.
But the story, and I tweeted about it and got a big reaction because the story's amazing. He went to Harvard. You know, I'd be surprised. He was, you know, one of the beautiful people, a state rep, as I said, an elected official. He was arrested, or he was found by the side of the road driving with no front tire, driving on the rim, sparks, and weaving around the road. And people were calling 911 saying this guy's out of control. This was 10:30. You know what time he was in the state house voting on some legislation? 9 p.m. He was drunk on the floor of the house, apparently. And then he was weaving in about Route 93. If you're not aware, 93, it is a major highway.
Massive.
And he was weaving back and forth on three tires. They pull him over. He is apparently, oh no, they had to help him out of the car, first of all. And they smelled alcohol and they had to give him a test. He was unable to give him the field sobriety test. He was, quote, unable to follow instructions regarding performance of the tests and extremely unsteady on his feet. So they take him, they find a bunch of nips, empty nips in the car, and they find a couple of cans of wine. Did you even know there were cans of wine?
I did not.
There are cans of wine, and this guy was drinking. He had one open, and he was drinking it, another unopened on his console. So he's really careful, you know, when it comes to drunk driving. You mentioned driving around, you're wasted. And you have, how many? It was like nine empty nip bottles in your car and an open can of wine. I mean, I've never heard of a guy driving this drunk. They take him back to the station, the barracks in South Boston, and they give him a chemical breath test. He blows a 0.329. Now, I got to be honest. I thought that was, you know, you'd be in the hospital on life support, dead. I didn't think it was capable. People, you know, I've heard of, you know, drunk drivers who are just wasted and they blow a 1.2 or something. A 3.29 is unbelievably staggering drunk. Mm-hmm. And he got in the car and drove. There's a guy, by the way, who introduced legislation against distracted driving and talked about the menace of people driving distracted on their phones, looking at social media, whatever. And I agree with him. That is a problem. This would be a bigger problem, getting behind the wheel with a 3.29. Obviously, he'll, you know, say he's got a problem, a medical condition. He's got to go to rehab and all that. But I have never heard I've never heard of somebody driving this drunk. It's, you know, I mean, I don't know if I've, you know, when I think of how drunk, think of the drunkest you've ever been, just in your mind where you pass out.
I'm there.
I remember a New Year's Eve when I was like just out of college. I was probably 23 and we had Midori, which is disgusting. It's watermelon. And drank like at midnight to celebrate, drank a whole bottle. And I remember it because it was the worst hangover I ever had. That green crap. I mean, it was just a nightmare. I can't imagine the thought of, I think I'll drive home. It is incredible that you could get this wasted. First of all, he's 32 years old. He's a, you know, elected official. But then you think, I'll drive home. That is one reckless individual. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. He put a lot of people's lives in danger. They asked Charlie Baker, the governor, about it, and he said, as a general rule, driving while intoxicated, drug or drunk, is irresponsible and dangerous. Oh, really? That's a hot take there, Charlie. But I, you know, I assume the guy will be going away for a while, as well he should. But I don't know how you get to that point where you think, I can do it. I can make it. When you're that wasted. But anyway, I want to get to, we got to get to Denny Hamlin. Speaking of driving recklessly, this story, I guess I don't blame the NASCAR. Everybody's afraid of the woke mob. This is something that would have been laughed off, I don't know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah, just six.
A joke. 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
We know these are NASCAR drivers. These are good old boys. Denny Hamlin is a friend, a good friend, a best friend of Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson made a move at Talladega the other day where he, I guess it was reckless. I guess he caused a crash.
The big one at Talladega. Sunday. Yeah. The big one.
The what?
The big one.
See, I don't know a damn thing. You know, who's in the wrong and the right whenever they have these crashes and they know and watch it. I don't care about it. But Denny Hamlin, they're big, big names. Denny Hamlin's a big name and he's done this before. He dared to have, you know, a sense of humor. But he posted a clip from Family Guy to bust balls of his friend Kyle Larson. And the next thing you know, Denny Hamlin is going to sensitivity training. But do we have, is this the video from the race?
It's both. This is the whole clip.
Okay. We got the clip where he posts and he busts his friend's balls and makes a joke and uses Family Guy. By the way, a cartoon that's on, you know, prime time still. It is amazing what Seth MacFarlane and, you know, the South Park guys, what they get to do, what they're allowed to do. But a NASCAR driver posts a clip directed at his friend. And the next thing you know, he's been ordered to apologize and go to sensitivity training. But go ahead, let's watch it.
Oh, well, be better with audio.
It would help if we had the sound of the offending audio.
I think so. Yeah.
How much signal I need to cut across 8 lanes? None? I turn now. Good luck, everybody else.
All right. That's, and it says Kyle Larson, and I guess he put a little bit of effort into it. That's just a guy busting his friend, a friend who caused the crash. I guess Kyle Larson's part Japanese. Not that I don't even, who cares? You know, who cares? It's from Family Guy. It's talking about someone cutting across 4 lanes, which is basically what he did. This is the reason this is so stupid is because they can make him go to sensitivity training, right? And they will. He already has. They made him apologize. He gave a statement. The Toyota, you know, gave a statement. I'm sure he'll lose some advertisers and everything else. They can do all that. You know what they're not going to change? They're not going to change the fact that guys bust each other's balls. It's what they do. Now, Denny Hamlin won't do it in, you know, on social media next time maybe, but he's still going to bust Kyle Larson's balls when he does something like this. This is what guys do. There's nothing racist or offensive about it. When you think about it, it's just a guy busting his friend. And what did he do? What did he use to do it? A cartoon that's on network TV now, today. Honest to God, if you can't say that's just a guy, you know, being a wise ass, trying to be funny, trying to make fun of his friend who caused the crash, I don't know where we go next. What's going to happen to Denny Hamlin? I've been to sensitivity training. It's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. He's kidding. He's joking. He didn't say this in anger. I mean, these are the same people, right, who had went this whole charade with the noose in the garage, and they all had to come out. Bubba Wallace, they all had to come out and like touch him and hug him and touch his car when everybody knew there was no noose. I mean, it is just performance art. Here's Denny Hamlin's tweet. He says, I found a post I made earlier. After reading some of the comments, it was a poor choice of memes, and I saw it was offensive. It came across totally wrong. I apologize. Shouldn't have done that, Denny. Should have said, I was just busting my friend's balls and using a clip from a cartoon. Why doesn't Seth MacFarlane ever have to apologize? He's the one that made the meme. It was not on, maybe it's not on social, actually it probably is on social media, but it's a cartoon and kids watch it and it's just busting. And it's just too bad. It's too bad. Nice try, Denny. Nice try. And you know what? I don't care. It's still funny. People laugh. People appreciated your sense of humor. And we got time to do John Henry.
Of course. We should do Shea first, though.
Let's do Shea Concrete. Let me do Shea Concrete. Let me tell you about Shea, and then we're going to congratulate the Pizzutis, the owners of the Red Sox and the Boston Globe. Another big move, you know, for these global warming, for these climate change alarmists, these climate change hypocrites. But first, let me tell you what Shea Concrete has for you. They have a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed at your home. Whether you're building a new home or remodeling and replacing an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values, designs that will fit your home. You can go with the concrete or you can customize with beautiful stone or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. They'll make your front steps the talk of the neighborhood. They remove the old stairs. You have them walking up your new steps in a matter of hours. When they're done, you'll have a great looking front entrance that will add value. This is an investment in your home, not an expense. You'll get this back someday. That's what I think. One phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience, and in a few hours, you get a brand new front entrance. Learn more about the concrete steps at shakeconcrete.com, and while you're there, you can apply for a job. Shea Concrete is hiring. They're always hiring because business is booming and they are a great company. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people with all different types of skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. This obviously made me laugh out loud. If you read the Boston Globe, and nobody does anymore, but if you see their tweets or their headlines, you know, or you just know what they do is they daily, I mean, all you know, they like two kinds of stories. One, you know, everyone's racist and sexist and homophobic. That's one story. And the other kind is we're all going to die because of climate change. The worst, you know, if we don't start using paper straws and driving Priuses, we're all going to die. They are one of the leading proponents of climate change alarmism, of climate change panic. And if you had a house on the water, like on the ocean, you'd think, you know, you better get rid of that, or you better build a big cement wall because the ocean is rising fast because of all the carbon in the atmosphere. And we're all going to get washed away, and, you know, Manhattan will be underwater, and Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. Nantucket's not going to be underwater. The people who tell you this about climate change, the Boston Globe, the person who owns the Globe, the person who makes all the decisions on how many stories about climate change you see, just bought a $25 million waterfront estate on Nantucket. That would be John and Linda Pizzuti. The people, and I know I've said this before and I'll say it again, the people who tell you to worry about climate change do not worry about climate change at all. Bill Gates bought a $43 million house on the ocean. Barack Obama has two new mansions, one in Martha's Vineyard for $12 million, one in Hawaii for $9 million, right there on the water. That guy said last week, time is running out. Climate change is going to kill us all. Well, John Henry, another fanatical climate change alarmist, and his wife, Linda Pizzuti, just bought a 20, and I'm looking at it right now. It is right on the water, massive house for this weirdo and his trophy wife. He doesn't believe. She doesn't believe it. They don't believe it. You know, Joe Biden doesn't believe it. Liz Warren, Ed Markey don't believe it. They just want you scared. They want you living in fear. So you will do what you're told. But congratulations to the lovely couple who will now be out there on Nantucket with the beautiful people in their $25 million oceanfront, at least for, what, 8 more years? And then the world's going to end. Or maybe 4, maybe 5. I don't know. It's going to end soon if you people don't start getting in line and start getting electric cars and paper straws.
I'm just shocked we made it through the winter.
Shocked that what?
That we made it through the winter of death.
Well, didn't you hear the winter? Oh, that's true. The winter of death and, what do you say, serious illness and death for the unvaccinated. That didn't happen. Sometimes, eventually, people have to say, how many times are they going to lie to us? How many times are they going to be wrong? If you get a chance sometime, look at the last 40, 50 years of the climate change alarmism. It went from global cooling to global warming to acid rain to ozone layer, and now it's climate change. And if you don't get on board, if you don't listen to the high school dropout from Sweden, we're all going to be dead in you know, 8 years. It's just such nonsense. Judge them on what they do, not what they say.
And
what they
do, suffered depression.
What they do is buy big mansions on the ocean because they know the oceans aren't going to wash them away in 8 years. But all right, we shall leave it there. Did I miss anything? I know we're a little choppy today, Ironhead, but you have to piece it all together.
I sure do. We'll be back, though, stronger than ever on Locals tomorrow.
We will be on Locals. I don't even know what you guys did on Locals last week. You can tell me about it tomorrow, because actually the listeners, the texters, the callers can tell me about it, because I was away for a couple of days. I think I was like flying all day on Friday and never got to. I heard rumors about what happened here last week on Locals. Maybe you could fill me in tomorrow when we return, but hopefully people can join us. If you're not a member, if you're not part of our community, you can just go to callahanshow.locals.com.
That's right, callahanshow.locals.com.
callahanshow.locals.com if you want to join us each and every Friday. We have a little private showing on Fridays, but you're welcome to join us. Just go to callahanshow.locals.com. But that will do it for today. Don't forget, Sunday, 9 a.m. in Andover, the Step Up for Colleen 5K, the Ritzer race. Just go to stepupforcolleen.com. You can still sign up. You can still show up. You can meet Kirk Minahan. You can meet, there's going to be other radio personalities showing up there. Of course, you can meet Dave Cullinane. You can race. You can run. It's a great race, a great cause, and apparently the weather's going to be spectacular. So show up Sunday, 9 a.m. for the Ritzer race. We will see you there. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening. Thanks you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and you can join us tomorrow only on Locals.
Here tonight, shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks to take
Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.